AFK discussions start now. What hearts beyond the edge of Blizzard? Every answer spawns a deeper question. If you could see the world the way I see it, would you dare step into the tension? What hides beyond the veil we're taught to trust? Hey, welcome back to AFK Discussions. We were, you know, gone for a little bit, but we're back now and we are ready to roll. So this is our first episode being back and we have an awesome guest. We have Laura. Laura's been on the show numerous times and she was a regular. But guys, she is the first guest on the new show. I'm trying to get back into it, guys, so just bear with me. But hey, Laura, how is it going?
It is going good. I'm super excited. I'm so honored to be your first guest back.
First guest. Yeah, you were, yeah. I mean, you were the end of the, before we stopped recording AFK discussions, it seems like you were coming on like almost every week for a little while, or at least virtually, because you would, you know, be communicating with us via like the chat and stuff, so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's fun. I don't know. It's just nice to make friends, you know, like other people that do the same thing you do. And then you just kind of hang out and talk and record it. So yeah, that's cool.
Definitely. Definitely. So you told me you had some awesome stories to tell me.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right into it.
Okay. So, and I don't know. It is like there is just the more and more I like look into stuff, it's like the weirder I find things. So, I mean, it kind of started like several months ago where, so I didn't have Facebook for years because I don't like it. My sister and one of my friends were sending me screenshots from Facebook about stuff that was in our area. And like, you know, I guess you can do the local groups or whatever on Facebook. And they were like screenshotting these, all these things that were going on, you know, right next to us. And it was stuff, there were people were like seeing Dog Man, and they were writing that their teenagers were getting chased in their cars by a Dog Man and with red glowing eyes. And there was also other people were like, yeah, was it on this road? Blah, blah, blah over here. And people were like, yeah, I saw a tall, dark shadow figure in the middle of the road or on the side of the road. And then all these people just start coming out of the woodwork saying, you know, I've seen the same thing and it's all in the same spot. And I'm like, my mind is blown. And I'm texting anybody I can think of that's actually going to care about it. I think I sent you some text messages and some screenshots of the conversations that were happening. So, you know, maybe some days go by and I'm like, I have to get back on Facebook. I can't even, you know, stand it. I'm like, I got to see what's happening. So I re-log into Facebook after years, and it was getting kind of weird in the one local group, and people were kind of, you know, saying, oh, you guys are full of it or whatever, and just making fun of people. So someone took it upon themselves to make, you know, kind of like a paranormal group for the area. So they did that. And I joined that. And I'm in there and I'm reading all this stuff. And I actually went and pulled some of the sightings, some of the comments that people were leaving out, and I put it into like a little notepad so I could read it. If you are interested in hearing some of those, I have them up and I can just go for it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So yeah, I remember when all that was happening, you were telling me all about it and sending me photos, and you actually, I think, went driving around the area and like sent me photos, and I was like, just be careful because who knows what's out there. And also, yeah. Also, another thing that I found very interesting was you telling me that, you know, is like the normies, like normal people who, you know, don't really post in paranormal groups for having, you know, these, I guess, sightings. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so here's the first one, because I think it all started with that one woman who was like, yeah, my sons were just chased. They came home terrified this night. And then there were some people saying, you know, that the same thing happened to them. And there was other people saying, oh, you know, these people are your kids on drugs and stuff. So anyhow, so This one comment says, this black figure everyone is referring to, did it have a long bat cape type outfit on, experienced something similar about 15 years ago, but over on, I'm definitely not going to say, you know, the name or the town, but definitely, so on this road. And they said, I travel the certain day, this road daily for years now, but not have experienced anything around that area. But I have lived on this other road for 20 years and have seen black shadow figures with a hat.
Mm.
And then there's other...
So
go
real
ahead.
Quick, I just got a question. So I know she said, you said a bat cape, like a...
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it was autocorrect and it was like supposed to be
maybe
black,
she
would
be black cape.
Or not.
Yeah,
that's what I was wondering.
So the cape is very interesting. And especially whenever, you know, she said the figure with the, you know, the black hat, you know, obviously you think, start thinking about the hat man.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I have, is there any cemeteries in that area?
So, I mean, there's your local church cemeteries. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there is some stuff that does go back to the 1800s and around my area, the cemeteries aren't very exciting to me, because if I go into other areas where there's more like Pennsylvania Dutch people, and it would be the old Germans, and it would have been before and during the Victorian era, I mean, you should see the cemeteries there. They are just, it's like a work of art. And so I normally go, and that's mostly down in like Berks County. So if I'm going to a cemetery, I kind of snoop around there and look for stuff. I don't really mess around where I'm at too much, because it's not very exciting.
Yeah.
But to sorry.
I was just asking that. I was going to say why I was asking that, because the dogman entity, or yeah, I like to go werewolves instead of dogman. I don't know. I just don't like the word dogman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why is there so many people that I hear say that on podcasts? And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
I know. I don't know. I just like werewolves. I don't know.
But
just,
werewolves
sounds
okay,
better.
But you, I feel like you agree. Like a werewolf is a totally different entity.
I guess, you know, werewolf infers that, you know, it changes from human to wolf. And dogman, I guess, is supposedly a dog, half dog, half man all the time.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the reason it bothers me is because my son, you know, has these dogman books. It's like this police dog.
Okay.
And I don't know. I guess that's why I just think it sounds silly. I don't know.
I could see that. I could understand that.
But anyways, what I was saying is like that entity, the dogman, werewolf, Anubis, if you will, entity has been seen a lot of times around graveyards. And in Egyptian folklore, Anubis was like the guardian of the dead or the afterlife. So
yeah,
that's where I was going with that. But
yeah. So, I mean, to answer your question, kind of, other people started posting in the group saying that there's been like Native American massacres right around the area, and like right where these sightings have been seen. And because that didn't come, like that post didn't come till after several of these posts. And I'm starting to think, okay, there's definitely something to this for sure. Whether it's like you said, that they come into, you could consider that area kind of a graveyard, or, you know, where tragedy occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know, is there something that has to do with creating, you know, the negative energy appears after all this tragedy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and this all of this kind of ties into some other stuff that I have too.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, about the battlefield area, there's also been entities, not necessarily dogmen, but creatures of some type with red glowing eyes seen around battlefields. Where I live down here in the South in Tennessee, there's a battlefield called Chickamauga, which is outside Chattanooga, Tennessee. And there's a creature of some sort that's been seen there with red eyes. So
are you talking about the one, because I heard about this years ago and forgot about it. But then I was just listening to another podcast the other day, and then they had guests on and they were talking about it. It's like a green phantom or something like that. Seen like maybe. It kind of hovers over the dead bodies.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
It was something. I mean,
it could
like,
be.
Yeah.
I just know there's red glowing eyes involved, in a battlefield at Chickamauga. I don't know. My friends went down there one night. Gosh, this was back in early 2000s, and they saw glowing eyes, but it ended up being a deer. You know, when they're shining the flashlights, like the eyes shine, but
such a bummer. Yeah.
I know, but I don't know. I mean, it could be glowing. I don't know, really. So.
Yeah, it was, and it was these, they were doing, the episode actually was Into the Fray with Shannon LeGros, and she had people on, and their newest book, she had her guests on, the authors, and it was something about the Smoky Mountains, and it was like hauntings of, and I was like, well, I definitely need to listen to this, and then that's when they were talking about that, and it's probably the same thing you're talking about.
It may be, but there are a lot of battlefields around here. That's just one of the most famous ones. But so what else? Because you only read like the first one. I'm like,
yeah,
I want to know. I'm like chomping at the bit to hear like more about this.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's another one. It says, we recently moved back from the area, but go frequently to visit family. In about the year 2000, I was driving my now brother-in-law home with one of my cousins, and they named the road, and it said, we stopped at the four-way stop to turn and looked over a pond, and there was a UFO. It was a triangle shape with a light in the center. It was hovering pretty low to be anything else with no, it was hovering pretty, t- my gosh, I can't talk. It was hovering pretty low to be anything else with no noise. Unfortunately, they were both deceased now, and no one believes me except for my husband. And that's crazy because I have a family friend, and when I go, and we always sit around and tell ghost stories and talk about the paranormal. And I mean, years and years ago, I think she said back in the late 70s, she saw a UFO over a lake nearby, which is wild.
Yeah, so UFOs is another. I mean, there's a lot of UFO scene, you know, with the whole like Dogman and also Sasquatch and Bigfoot phenomenon. You know, either UFOs or like some sort of orbs, or I guess ghost lights, as some people call. But yeah, that's very interesting. UFOs. I mean, the things that you know, the government's talking about UFOs now. It's amazing, you know, because I never thought that they would ever like come out and say that they were real. But now, you know, we it seems like every week we hear something else about it.
I know.
And I've seen a couple UFOs, so it's crazy.
Oh, really?
Pictures. Yeah, I have pictures. It like outside my house here. It was crazy. Yeah.
Oh, we need to talk about that at some point.
Yeah. I think the pictures are still on the Instagram.
Oh, really?
By the way, guys, that's a good segue. Go to Instagram, follow us, AFK Discussions. Anyways.
At midnight underscore in the mountains.
Oh, yeah. Midnight underscore in the mountain, right there. Yeah. But yeah, so it was weird. It was about the size of a car. It was, I mean, in the pictures, you can't really tell the size, but I mean, visually, from, you know, we could see it. My wife saw it. My kid saw it first. He was like, what is that in the sky? You know, it looked like a blowfish. Oddly enough. Yeah. Like the shape of it.
That's weird.
It's really weird. Yeah. So I saw that. And then back, gosh, maybe 12 years ago, it was like we saw this like armada. That's the only way I can say it. I mean, it literally looked like hundreds of like orbs, I guess, in the sky. Look, you know, you couldn't tell they were tiny. We thought they were planes like flying, but then, you know, they were like, it looked like an armada of like flying things. I don't know. And I've seen other videos of stuff like that, but I got my phone out and, you know, this is like, you know, like I said, 12 years ago, the cameras weren't as great as they are now. So I didn't catch any evidence, but yeah.
Well, I mean, if you have an iPhone, that hasn't changed a whole lot. I'm still waiting for them to pick up the slack. But was it kind of like the Phoenix Lights kind of deal, or was it different?
I guess. I mean, like I said, if I can, I know there's videos out there. Continue on. I will look this up and I will show you.
Okay. So there's another sighting here. Oh, this is Well, anyways, there's one that says that they saw something black in their yard, and then they turned around and then they looked back and it was gone, and they totally forgot about it until they started reading these posts on Facebook. And here's another one. It says, I recently experienced something weird that jumped right on my roof and startled my husband and I at 12 a.m. There are no trees around my house. When we went to check it out, it jumped off and moved really fast. All we could hear was it breaking trees and threw something at our windows. Very strange. Has anyone else had a similar experience? So that, yeah, stuff on the roof, those stories just really freak me out.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy, man. So whenever we were, I don't want to take this away from you, but I'm I have stories show. That, yeah, no,
what
I have,
you want.
I have stories that kind of, you know, go along with that. So we were, when we were in Elkmont, one of the groups we were with, they said that when they were investigating their time prior, that something jumped on the roof and like ran over the top and then jumped off. Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty crazy.
That is very creepy.
Yeah. In that area, I don't know. I mean, it's insane. And there's a graveyard right there next to it. So
yes, I was looking up pictures of that because I was like, yep, we're going there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So just, I haven't said anything yet because like I have another podcast called Image of the Invisible, and I've been kind of playing around and telling Phil like, hey, you know, I've got a special guest coming down to but Laura's going to come down. We're going to go to Elkmont. And
did I just,
all that. No, it's not a spoiler. Yeah, it's fine.
Sorry. Oops.
That's fine. No, it's cool.
I mean, you could edit this out if you want.
No, it's good. But yeah, so I was just thinking, so the UFOs, I'm going to get back to that real quick. So I thought about it for a minute, and only thing, it was still daylight. The stars weren't out, but it looked like stars, if you could, flying across the sky.
That's and so then, weird.
And then occasionally, like, one would go faster than the other ones, and some would go slower. You know, and yeah, but there was a lot. I mean, it was like hundreds, just like it was really weird. But
did you look anything up to see if other people, like anything online?
Back then, I mean, the only thing, there really wasn't like a huge presence, I guess, for that. I mean, besides MUFON.
Yeah.
No one posted anything on Facebook or anything like that in our area, but a lot of people, you know, back then, it wasn't as accepted as it is now to post stuff about, oh, right. I saw a UFO, you know.
Right, yeah. So. Wow, that's weird.
I did call my friend. I was like, go outside, because he lives maybe 15, 20 minutes from me. I was like, watch the skies because they're heading your direction. Let me know if you see anything. So, but he never saw anything.
Oh, he never saw anything?
No.
Darn. Wow.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that's a very scary thing to have something walk on the roof that, you know, it's like horror movies are made of stuff like that, you know, with something walking on the roof. And you hear all these stories about like Sasquatch and all these other things, all these other entities. Like I can think of one. There is a story called, I think, The Siege of Hanabi, if I'm saying that correctly. But there's like all these like Sasquatch that attack this house. And there's some that get on the roof and they talk about them, you know, walking on the roof and stuff. So, yeah, that's what that kind of reminds me of.
I don't know if I've heard that story. I might have. I mean, have you heard the one that supposedly happened up in Maine where all these dog men were outside the house all night, all night long, and some were on the roof and just terrifying these people?
Yeah, that was on, was it Monster Quest? I don't think it was Monster Quest. It was one of those shows on the Travel Channel. They had a reenactment.
These Woods Are Haunted or something?
Maybe. I can't remember, but it was... That's one of those stories that I have tried to find more info on, and I can't find anything.
Yeah. My friend who does a podcast, and he's an author, and he lives up in Maine. And I think he told me, because I kind of went through a binge of watching that show, These Woods Are Haunted, and I texted him saying, oh yeah, you know, have you heard of this story? And he said, oh yeah, I've heard of it. And I think he said he even talked to, it was either one of the people that lived in the house or it was somebody that wrote a book about it. Mm. So I can't remember what he told me because it would probably asked him like 2 years ago about it.
Yeah.
But.
So that's the one, the people, they bought the property, they moved in,
mm-hmm.
and their kids were playing in the woods and they found like a den or something, right?
Oh, no, I don't know. I mean, maybe. Okay. Yeah. I just don't remember that.
I think I'm pretty sure that's what I'm remembering from the episode. But they didn't go in it or anything. But then they started seeing things on the edge of the woods, and then they started, you know, coming out. And then finally, like attacking the house, and the guy had his guns or something in the barn.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was trying to get them. Yeah, that's a crazy story.
Yeah, the worst part about it for me is like, you know, and I felt like this before. I've heard people say it that. There's these rules that they can't, for whatever reason, they can't touch us or something. Because, I mean, they could have easily broken into the house. So mm-hmm. what are they just doing? Creating the fear and feeding off the fear? I don't get it. But it's so terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, you know, like a fear eater, I guess is what you would call that.
Exactly.
I mean, that makes sense. But, I mean, it could go back to the whole, like, the vampire trope of, you know, they can't come unless they're invited, you know, kind of thing.
Well, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, which I love
vampires.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the whole, the mythology of vampires. But I mean, gosh, that goes really deep also because there's a lot of stuff coming out lately about, like, vampires are really more than fiction.
Yeah, that's a little, I mean, that there's a whole bunch of other stuff that like I've heard like relating into like Hollywood and stuff like that. So like, that's not what the vampires we're thinking of.
Yeah. But no, there's vampires that are like legit vampires, like graves that have been found with like the head chopped off and a stake through the chest and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, wait, but are you talking about like, I mean, like from back in the day or?
More? Yeah. Yeah. Like from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on that. There's actually a museum kind of, you know, in Pennsylvania called Vampa that I really want to go to. It has all this like old historical stuff where it's got vampire killing kits and everything. And then they've also collected a bunch of paranormal objects, haunted objects and stuff. And you can even go there. I think you can rent it out. Because I've seen someone rent it out on YouTube before, but I've only seen that one person. And I always say, oh, I'm going to call them and talk to them and see if they'll rent it out, you know, and we could go investigate. I have yet to get there yet, but I really want to go. It looks really neat.
Yeah. But also like literal vampires today.
Yeah.
I don't get too weird, but yeah. But that it goes into a lot of like, ritualistic and Satanism and stuff like that with the vampires, but you know, like blood drinking and all that, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Some not good stuff, but it sure is interesting.
Yeah. We keep going on these tangents about other things, which is fine. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah.
Was there anything else? I thought there was there another story besides the roof walking one?
I mean, there's a couple more.
Yeah.
There's one about this kind of really weirded me out a little bit. It said that we had an experience years ago coming back from the fair. A group of boys chasing our car, trying to get in. We thought they were local kids coming home from the fair, which I mean would make sense. And it said that, hang on a second, they were walking in the middle of the road on the hill. My husband wanted to stop and tell them they're going to get killed from doing that. I guess both of them, her and her husband, looked back. They had black eyes and they were dressed in hoodies, and it was August. So it's, I mean, Pennsylvania, it gets very hot, very humid. I mean, not as much as Tennessee, but you don't wear a hoodie in August.
No.
In Pennsylvania. So, and then she told her husband to get them the heck out of there, which that And I mean, like, some of these stories, there's other comments on here that as soon as I read them, my BS meter just went off. I'm like, no, this person's just trying to be a troll and they think it's funny. But
yeah,
for whatever reason, I believed this story.
Yeah,
which
for
is
sure.
Very strange.
I mean, that's like the, you know, typical Black Eyed Kids encounter.
No, exactly. You know, yeah.
Yeah. But I've never heard them chasing a car.
No, it's
usually
them
standing and like watching, you know.
Yeah, be like, let me in.
Yeah.
I need to come in. I need to call my mom, or, you know, you need to give me a ride or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, I imagine they could chase a car if they wanted to. That's another thing I've heard with like dog men and other things of, you know, they'll be driving and look over and it'll be pacing their car.
Yeah. That's really creepy too.
Yeah. There was on the Confessionals podcast, for those who don't know, Laura and I are both friends with Tony Merkel. And so sometimes that may come up during the show going forward. But yeah, he had a guy on that's from the area around here, and he had an encounter with a dog man, and he was driving on the interstate and it was chasing him. And it was like ramming into his car.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah, it was maybe 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, when, I'm sure I listened to that.
But that was a pretty intense episode. And literally, like from my house, the interstate is walking distance, right? Like maybe a 5-minute walk to the interstate. So like he described where he was going, and it like went right by. Like the exit that goes to my house. So I took it upon myself to go. There's an area, I'm not going to say the name of it, but there's an area that has, it's a big ridge, and there's a park up on top and stuff. Another thing interesting is the park closes at dusk. So, which I always find interesting when things close at, you know, they close it off at, you know, when it gets dark. I don't know. I just didn't find that. Why would you do that? Why, you know, why would you let people up there? Because it's an overlook and you can see the whole city, and at night it would be really cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, there's all these like mountain bike trails and walking trails up there that are, you know, like more like a hike than just walking, you know, because it is on a pretty big ridge. But yeah, that whole area is pretty, pretty wooded, and it's kind of goes along the interstate for quite a while. And I mean, it can connect to like the Smoky Mountains eventually, like it will keep going. But yeah, so I mean, where you described, I went up there and drove around and stuff, and I was like, yeah, this is, I could see this, you know, having a habitat to live in, something that big and not be seen. So
yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I think there's another guy. I first heard him on Into the Fray years ago. Shannon interviewed him, and he's a judge from Ohio. And I think since then he's made his own, I think he has his own podcast now, but I think he's also been on Tony's show maybe a year or two ago, something like that. But he had, I think, just about the scariest dogman encounter I've ever heard. He was a teenager in high school running track, and he would practice running, but he would do it at night because, you know, Ohio's humid also and hot, just like Pennsylvania is during the summer. And he had something pacing him in the woods, or not in the woods, in a cornfield, and it ended up like just like chasing him, and he ended up diving. He ran so far that he went to his buddy's house and like dove in the guy's pool and held his breath underwater. Yeah. Until whatever, as long as he could, and then till whatever it passed. And then he like banged on the guy's glass doors and had his friend let him in, and he stayed there for the night. I mean, like, oh, that story, I always retell it, and I always talk about it, because it is the, I think, the most frightening story I've ever heard.
Definitely. And, you know, whenever you have someone that is, you know, an authority figure, like a judge or, you know, police officer or something like that, you know, it just lends a little more credibility to the stories, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, you don't want to come out and say it like they're not going to say that stuff because they could. Yeah. They're risking their whole livelihood, their job, everything.
Definitely. Yeah, I have a friend that's a police officer, and I've been trying to get him to tell me some stories, and he's still leery. So he did tell me something, but not about on duty. Him and his family. Do you remember? So this is a kind of a deep cut, guys. So you may have to go back and listen to the old AFK discussions to understand some of this. But so we went to a birding park. I don't know if you remember me talking about this.
So I'm gonna laugh right now because you were on the show not that long ago with Aaron and I, and you said the birding park.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what you were saying. And it was like such like a Southern accent. And then Aaron goes off and he's like, birding park.
Yeah. So birding, like bird watching park. And it's another one of these places that close and you're not allowed in there. Actually, it said they will prosecute you if you're in there after dark. So me and my family went there during the daytime and ended up like some weird things happened. My daughter saw a black figure in the window upstairs, and you really can't get upstairs in this old cabin because it's blocked off. I had a spirit box and I was talking to it. And when we were sitting on the porch, it said, I was asking about dogman and creatures, and it said monsters in like a normal voice. And I tried to record, I was recording with my phone, but for some reason it didn't record. And so, my wife heard a growl inside the house, and then I was like, okay, we better leave. So we left, and my family's up ahead of me, and I kind of hang back and I turn on the recorder again, and I'm talking, and I can't remember what I said. I said entities or if any creatures are here, and a little girl voice said, "Sisters," like that. And it really freaked me out. But anyway, so my police officer friend, him and his family were there. They do like a Halloween event, and they have a bonfire at that house and do like trick or treating and like ghost stories and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah. So he was taking a picture with his phone, and you know how like iPhones will have that live view, you know, where like, you know, take multiple pictures or whatever. So he had that on. He took a picture of the house. One frame, it's just an empty doorway.
Oh, no.
The next frame, there's a black figure in it. And the next frame, it's gone. One frame, it just is there.
Oh, that's my crazy. Gosh.
Yeah.
Man, we need to go there. Yeah,
but you can't go there at night, only during the day. That's
well,
a problem.
Your friend's a police officer, right? So, like, can you pretend that we're not.
Well, I mean, he's only one police officer. I mean, you know, and I don't think he's a police officer of that county. So it's because it's not in Knox County.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a weird place. But, you know, Phil and I, we had some EVPs and stuff when we were there also. So, I mean, in the daytime, it's kind of active.
You and Phil went there too?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a video, I think, on YouTube on the AFK Discussions YouTube channel.
Elmont, you guys went
to. No, we did both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It may be, you know what? It may be gone because after his experience, he deleted all of his YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So it may have been on his channel.
No, yeah.
Yeah. But guys, so Phil, my co-host for Image of the Invisible, he used to be the co-host in AFK Discussions. And he and I both had a very terrifying experience, and it kind of bled over and like, you know, the hitchhiker effect, I guess is what you call it, where, you know, you bring something back with you. It sort of hit me, but I think there was other stuff going on because I'm going to have to go back and tell you guys all these stories because this is, you know, essentially a new show. So I had an issue with a voodoo whistle. It sounds weird.
Listen, you could just sum it up and just go back and listen to my episode.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's true. You can go to Men on the Mountains and listen to her episode, and I talk all about that stuff. But so there was the issue with the voodoo whistle in my house. It was brought back from Africa, and that could have caused some of the issues I was having. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but Phil definitely had like a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And so he completely stopped doing all paranormal. His channel on YouTube was Exploring with Phil. He pretty much lived in the Huckamuck Swamp for at least a year. I mean, every day he would go there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. pretty much. So Phil deleted his channel, and so there's not really much of our old stuff and or our old investigations out there. But there may be still some on the AFK Discussions YouTube page, but you just had to go check it out. Anyways, sorry. I'll catch you guys up, though. I will. This is a new show. I will have to have an episode where I catch you guys up.
Is this? Oh wait. So are, like, this is going to be a? Is this going to be a whole new feed then? Yeah,
a whole new feed.
Because you still have Image.
Because we have Invisible Image and Invisible is took over the right. old AFK Discussion feed. So
okay. Yeah. Oh yes. Oh my goodness gracious. So if anybody stumbles across this and hasn't listened to either of us, they're going to be like.
No, that's why I started off. I mean, yeah.
Bunch of rambling idiots, really.
It's conversation. I mean, most of the podcasts I really enjoy is just Amazing. Conversational stuff.
Me too.
Like, yeah. You know, this is kind of the Joe Rogan format, you know, where you just have a conversation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like when it's too professional, too produced. It's like, okay, that's boring. Anyway.
Yeah, it does get kind of boring. But, you know, also there's a time and place for that. Mm-hmm. You know, like Tony's show is not really, it's not, I mean, it's very produced and clean.
Yeah.
But his format's really nice because it's kind of a mixture of both.
It's like relaxed.
Yeah, it's relaxed and chill. Yeah. But this format's more of like, you know, joking around, goofing off and having fun, you know, and trying not to be, you know, too professional. So I thought my son was in here again. So just tell another thing that's really funny. Sometimes my son will sneak up on me and with my camera, I have a camera on when I talk to the guest. And so I have a, one of those screens that says AFK Discussions by me. And sometimes my son will sneak up on me. I won't see him in the camera because, you know, the, what would you call that?
I don't know. I want to
image
say
behind me,
like a green screen kind of.
Yeah, green
effect.
Screen image behind me. Yeah,
yeah.
And he'll sneak up behind me, and I won't know he's there. And then I'll hear like a voice or something, and I will get freaked out, and I may scream sometimes. But he's not in here. I thought I heard him though. But anyways, it's funny. It can be funny.
Yeah.
But anyways, so let's get back to the story. So I know you said you had something else you wanted to tell me besides Dogman, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Man. So, all right. So my sister and I, we went. So, okay. So I follow this guy called The Wandering Woodsman on YouTube, and he does like 99% all of his videos in Pennsylvania. Sometimes they're neighboring states. So he is actually a teacher in his real day job. And so he does like a lot of historical videos, but he also kind of mixed some ghost stories in there once in a while. He'll throw in some Bigfoot stuff once in a while. He does a lot of abandoned ruins, things like that. And that's all the kind of stuff that I love. And I love to go outside and explore. So I watch his channel. And then, you know, there's times where I'm like, oh, I really want to go there. So I found this place and it's up in, well, he did a video on it. And it was called Hackers Falls up in the Delaware Water Gap National Recreational Area. And I'm giving the whole name out for like, because it plays a part in all of this. And so we go up there and we couldn't find the waterfall area we were looking for. So, but we found other waterfalls. So we're like, okay, you know, just enjoy it. I brought my dog along. We hung out, did some hiking, and we get in the truck. And I said to my sister, I'm like, do you want to go into town and get something to eat for dinner? Or do you want to go to an abandoned cemetery? And she's like, well, there's not really much up in town to eat. So, and I was like, okay, well then cemetery it is. So put in my GPS and we're going. And I almost miss it because it's very hidden. It's like an abandoned cemetery. There's graves there from the 1700s. There's one of the graves had a birth date from the 1600s. And there could be more. It's just hard because, you know, a lot of them you can't read anymore. And then if you go on like Find a Grave, it'll show you all the listings. And anyways, so we go and I almost missed the road. We pull in and it's kind of like in the trees, but there's also like a mowed patch where I could park. And we leave the dog in the truck and we walk up the hill and where the entrance of the cemetery is, it's maybe like, you know, several hundred feet from from where we parked to get up into the cemetery. And as soon as we're walking in, I hear an owl, and it's one of those barred owls that makes the noise. It's like, who cooks for you? That kind of deal. And so I knew it was a barred owl. So I hear that. I'm like, oh, and my sister didn't hear it. So we're walking up and we get in to the cemetery, and I have to send you pictures because it was really beautiful, because the time we went was, it was just pretty much the beginning of spring. And there's these flowers called Lily of the Valley, and they're just like these little white bell lily flowers, and they were covered all over the ground. And the cemetery is kind of, you know, nobody really, it doesn't seem like anybody really takes care of the grounds, because, you know, it's just these flowers everywhere. And there was a metal fence around one section, and I'm assuming that was like a family's plot, and that was kind of like broken down, so you had to be careful you didn't, you know, fall on it or trip, cut yourself. And there's a bunch of tombstones that were knocked over, and I had read online that it had possibly been vandalized. Like, I've seen a few comments that said that, because you can see where stuff's broken, and I didn't know if it's just broken over time or whatever. So I'm walking around the cemetery. I'm taking some videos and some pictures, you know, to put on Instagram. And we're there for maybe 15 minutes because we were kind of racing the sun, because I remember looking at my phone, the weather app, and it said the sun would set at 8:08. And so the sun's starting to set, it's starting to get dark out. And I'm in the back of the cemetery, and my sister stays in the front the whole time, and she's kind of being like weird, like she doesn't want to be there. And I'm like, well, come back here. You know, there's some really neat stones back here. Come look at these. And so she's kind of back where I am. And all of a sudden, I hear what I thought was an owl, but it didn't really sound like an owl. In my head, I'm thinking, what is that? It sounds like an owl that's like on drugs. And now we're up on the hill, but there's traffic going by down on the road. So traffic's coming past because I'm trying to listen and I can't really hear the noises that's going on in the woods. So I start walking over there because I'm like, oh, I want to find out what this is. So I'm like, it didn't really sound like an animal, and it didn't really sound like a person. And my mind is just jumping to, is this some kind of Bigfoot? Is this some kind of like shapeshifter kind of thing that's trying to make these noises? Because my first instinct's like, I want to walk over there. I want to walk up farther into the woods and find out what's up there. And my sister's like, okay, nope, we need to go. We need to get out of there, because we both like paused when we heard it, and just this terror goes over her face. And she's like, come on, no, we got to go. And I'm like, no, wait. And she's like, no, let's go. And I'm like, no, but wait, we could be having a paranormal experience right now. I'm like, I want to hear this. And so she convinces me to get out of there, and it's getting darker and darker, and I'm wanting to stay, but then just seeing how scared and nervous she got, it started making me nervous. And I'm like, okay, we probably should get out of here, because what if this is actually people up in the woods? So right next to the summit, like the graveyard, is this old, it's just like an old road, but you know, it's covered with forest debris and everything. And I don't know, you know, how long ago it was in use or whatever. But that's flat. And if you look up like right next to it, there's this hill that goes up, and it's rocks and it's trees and it's shrubs and bushes. And like, you can't get up there unless you're like really, really trying to like hike and whatever you're doing. So we're like walking out of the cemetery, and we both started getting even more freaked out. I'm like, okay, like, can you walk any faster? Like, let's go. So we get back in the truck, we lock the doors and everything. And the one thing I forgot to mention is while we're walking around in the cemetery, I look over at my sister, and she's like, you know, wiping her arms off, and she's like, there's like spider. And all I could really hear was her say like spider webs. So I thought nothing of it. I thought that she meant like actual spider webs. So we get back in the truck, and she's like, yeah, I felt like there were spider webs all over me the whole time. And I'm like, wait, what? And I said, I thought you meant actual spider webs. And what she was talking about was that static electricity feeling that is, you know, correlates with the when there's paranormal stuff around. I don't know if you've ever felt it, but I've definitely felt that where there's like weird, it just feels like this like static almost like.
Or like goosebumps kind of, you know, that pop up and like you feel like, does that make sense? Like you're like.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I know what you're saying. I know the feeling of like spider webs on you, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've experienced the actual spider webs feeling investigating or anything, but I do get like goosebumps and like chills and.
Yeah. You know. I've had when I was at Devil's Den in Gettysburg, I got like chills, goosebumps all up and down my legs as soon as I stepped out of my truck and nowhere else. And it was a really hot day, but I it's kind of hard to explain other if you haven't felt it before, I guess. It's just kind of like, it's almost like, have you ever used one of those like TENS units? If you had like a neck, yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's kind of like this netting, like webbing just like on you. Like, cause when I get it, I'll feel it like on the back of my shoulders. It's really weird. And that's what my sister was experiencing. She wasn't actually experiencing actual spider webs. And I was like, holy crap, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, the whole time. And then her and I just went hiking again yesterday. And I said to her, you know, my friend Jason wants to record and I'm going to tell him the story. Is there anything else you want to add to this that I could tell him? She's like, no, other than just, I felt like I had spider webs on me the whole time. So I start driving. And she's like, let's go up the road and see if there's anything up there. And I said, wait a minute. You actually want to go investigate? I was like, look at you. Because she's always like, she's, you know, she used to be like real skeptic. And but now she's starting to believe in stuff the more and more, you know, we go do stuff like this. So we drive up the road because she's like, there's a campground over there. I'm like, no, the campground's on the other side of the road. She's like, there's a sign over there. And I said, no, there's not. I said, look, the sign's right there. I said, that's not it. So we drive up the road and I can see a sign. So I'm like, okay, what's the sign? And I drive up and I pull in and it's just where, you know, the like national park systems, you know, how they always have like bathrooms. Well, there was a bathroom there and there was nobody in the parking lot. So there were no hikers on that trail right there. Mm-hmm. So we go out the road and you could go to the right and drive up the mountain because she's like, well, maybe there's trails up there. I'm like, Kat, I'm like, I don't think that there's any hiking trails up there because I'm like, that is rugged. There are no trails up there. So we drive up the mountain and we're going slow. We got our windows down and we're looking out the windows and stuff. And it's almost dark at this point and there's nothing, no trails, no nothing. And it's just continuous big rocks, trees, dense, everything. And we go, I had guesstimated about 1.5 to 2 miles and it brings us out to the end of the road. And at the end of the road, there's a house, like somebody's house is there. And we're just kind of freaking out thinking, okay, there's nothing up in those woods that anybody would be there. So we go back down. And when I had gotten home that night, I pulled up my All Trails app, which is a really good hiking app. And I pulled it up and I pulled up the area and it'll have dotted lines if there's a hiking trail there. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing. There's nothing in that area. There's no trails, no nothing. And I had looked up on the map. I used Google Maps and I saw that the house was just about 2 miles away from the cemetery. So now we figured out that there's nothing in there. And I also forgot to mention that when I was talking to my sister in the truck when we were driving, she goes, yeah, she's like, I heard like a dog howling. And I said, what? I said, I heard owls, but they sounded really messed up. Like they didn't sound right. And she goes, no, I heard dogs howling. And she goes, the only thing that I can explain it as or compare it to is, she's like, do you know in the Twilight movies when Jacob and his friends are still human and they're messing around and they're pretending to howl like dogs. She said that's what it sounded like. And I'm just double freaked out after she said that, because I'm like, what? Because, I mean, how many times do you hear stories where something is mimicking something and it doesn't sound right? Like, I don't even know what to say to this, because I can't even debunk this. We tried to debunk it and I don't have anything, you know. And my gosh, you hear the stories where there's owls. Mm-hmm. People see owls in paranormal experiences, but it's really not an owl.
Yeah. So the whole premise behind that is that your brain can't process what it's seeing. So it'll replace it with an owl for some reason.
Right. Yeah. Or is it that, or is it even like they try to cloak themselves?
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that too.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what that is, but to me, and it's funny because when we started walking up into the cemetery and I'm walking around and I just had this thought of like, what if there's Bigfoot here guarding an old abandoned cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't even looking for anything paranormal. We weren't trying to investigate. We weren't trying to snoop around and look for ghosts or anything. We were just trying to check out an old, cool, abandoned cemetery and look at the tombstones.
Yeah.
That was it. And then, you know, it's kind of wild when that stuff just hits you like that. Definitely. And you were not expecting it.
I was going to, when you said the owls the first time, I was going to bring that up. I don't know what to think about owls. I know that my wife has seen owls that she didn't think was really owls. Yeah. And she's, owls freak her out. Like,
really?
And also she can't watch movies with aliens, like the grays, like the big eyes. That she can't watch them because they freak her out. So
that, like, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to, that just like scares me, because I've heard people say that when you're, because aliens really freak me out, and they are my least favorite subject of the paranormal. And someone else is like, well, maybe you were abducted because you're so scared of it. And I just am like, no, I wasn't. I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about that. Oh, so, okay. So I do have more to add to this area. So it was like the Delaware Water Gap National Recreational Area. And it's a pretty big area. And it kind of, it even goes into New Jersey. And my sister and I actually went over, we crossed, you know, the Pennsylvania River yesterday, and we went over on to the Jersey side, and we're hiking along the river up on the mountains and stuff. And so now there's this stretch of this area, and it's like considered like Bushkill to like Milford. And when I was a kid, my parents took me and my sister there to go hiking, go for a walk. And I, to this day, I can remember feeling weirded out by that area and it just being not right and creepy and very uncomfortable and very, very unsettling feeling. And, you know, and it's still to this day, if I drive through that stretch, I feel that same feeling. And I'm like, it is just weird up here. It's just, something is wrong here. And, you know, I've literally never said anything to anybody about that.
Mm.
So last year I was driving home from Gettysburg and I'm listening to a podcast, and it's talking about it was doing a podcast on like the listener stories where people write in, and someone wrote in about that specific area, and they were talking about how weird it was and how there was a cemetery near the McDade Trail. The McDade Trail runs for, I think, about 30 miles. I saw on my All Trails app. It's very long. And that there's an abandoned cemetery near that trail. And this person heard like little kid laughter and voices and talking, and it scared the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my sister and I went up there and I went to the cemetery, after we left, I realized, I said, holy crap, was that the cemetery that the person was talking about on the podcast? Because now the McDade Trail is on the one side of the road right next to the river, and we were on the other side of the road, but it still runs parallel next to it. So This is kind of like wild, but I mean, I guess, you know, there's up in that area, there's actually a Native American museum, and the museum is supposed to be extremely haunted. And when I went on a trip with Creed and Jen, Tony's brother-in-law, Creed, and Jen, his girlfriend, we were supposed to stop at that museum because, you know, it's known to be haunted, and the owners really want nothing to do with the paranormal. They don't want to talk about the fact that the museum is extremely haunted. So we didn't end up going. But now that tells you that there is Native American history very heavily in that area. So I started to do a little digging on the cemetery that I went into, and it's called the Smartwood Cemetery. And my friend, who's really good at research, you know, I went over to her house like the day after this happened. And these are my same friends that I was telling you about. When I hang out with them, we always tell ghost stories. So they made a joke about it. It had been like full moon. And the day we went to, like the night we went to the cemetery, it was like the day after the full moon. So it was still like 99% full. And that was another thing, because when we were driving home, I said to my sister, I'm like, look at the moon. I was like, oh my gosh, because it looked really, like really cool, but creepy at the same time. And my friends, when I went in their house, you know, the day after, they mentioned about it had being a full moon. And I said, oh yeah. I said, something really weird happened to me and Catherine last night. And they're like, oh, what? So I, you know, so I told them, but I start the story with the Delaware Water Gap area. And they're like, oh yeah, that area is really creepy. And they both said it at the same time. And I had also told one of my other friends about the story, but before I told her about the story, I just told her where it happened. She said, oh yeah, that area is really creepy when you drive through there at night. So now, and let me jump back to the beginning of our podcast episode here. There is a comment on the Facebook page that someone said, does anybody else get a weird feeling when they drive up through Bushkill to Milford? They said something about the energy being really off. So now I'm just recently finding out about all these people that have had the same feelings that I've had basically like almost my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's just all adding up. So I tell my friend about this. I sent her the cemetery, and she starts to do some digging on her own. And she says, oh yeah, this guy, the name is like, it's supposed to be Swartwood, but if you go back and you look at Find a Grave, it's Swartwoot, Woot. And I think they were like Dutch, and they started out in New York, but moved down to Pennsylvania. And the guy, his grave is the oldest one that's there that's listed. He was born in the 1600s, died in the 1700s, and he had a bunch of kids. And you go through his kids, one of his sons, you know, got married and had a handful of children, and they moved across the river right over into New Jersey. Because I mean, like I said, it's literally like the river is connecting, is runs right between Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
And you know what? I think I went through there because we went to New York recently.
Oh yeah.
And I think because we got off, there's something like the GPS rerouted us and went through all these little small towns. Mm-hmm. And I remember going over like a bridge, and there's like a river and in New Jersey, and then I was in Pennsylvania. So
yeah. Yeah. You probably,
I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
No, I'm sure. I mean, well, I don't know, but, I'm like trying to like stay focused.
Yeah. And yeah. No, I'm sorry. My bad.
No. It's okay. Cause I feel like I sound like a rambling idiot. So I look, so we do a little digging, right? And his one son's name is Anthony Swartwood. I'm not really sure on the pronunciation. I'm going to pull it up here because I found like an old article. His son got killed in a Native American raid, like massacre.
Oh, really?
And they killed his wife and three of his kids. And there was other families that got killed in this raid.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Anthony, they believe that Anthony was carried off and they never saw or seen him again. So I tried my darndest to go back and find the original article from a journal. I think it was like the Philadelphia Journal or the Pennsylvania mm-hmm. Journal. It was like this newspaper from the 1600s, 1700s. And I could not, I mean, I ended up on like these crazy websites. Like I could, and I was like searching these, you know, trying to find it. I could not find the original article online. And my friend said, yeah, you'd have to go sit in a library and go through like microfilm and things like that to actually find it. Because I was like, how neat would it be to actually read this old thing? But it, so part of the article is pulled out on a website and it says that we have advice from Sussex County, New Jersey, that the house of Anthony Swartwout was attacked about the 21st of May. The wife said Swartwout was found shot dead with a bullet through the back, and three children were found a little distance from the house with their heads. This is a little graphic. I'm sorry. That's their fine. Heads split open with a hatchet, but none were scalped. And Anthony Swartwout and the other children are missing, supposed to be carried off by the enemy. Mm. We also have advice that the house of Captain Hunt in Hardwick Township, Sussex County, was burnt about the same time, and a white lad about 17 years old. And I almost think that there was like, they took their slaves too, the way it's written here. Mm. And it says that there were, that people were missing from the attacks and several Indian tracks were seen. And that's what it says from, it's the Pennsylvania Journal published June 3rd, 1756. And then if you go down, it talks about other attacks and other people that got killed and that were missing. So I'm not saying that that's tied into the haunting of that cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it really interesting that there's like a lot of attacks, more than I realized, from Native Americans in that area. And it's like super, super heavily with like the bloodshed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So there's something to it. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, Native Americans curse the land or whatever. And I mean, I don't know if they did. And if they did, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But also, you know, is it that, or is it just the extreme tragedy and extreme bloodshed that is causing these areas to be so haunted? I mean, like I said, when you drive through there, and clearly I'm not the only one that I'm finding out that you can just feel it. It's so crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, that's definitely not a coincidence.
Yeah. So that's what, cause I just was like, holy crap. I can't believe we found this information, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's crazy. I mean, wasn't there like, no, I'm thinking of Massachusetts. Yeah. King Philip's War. That was in Massachusetts, right?
The Hockomock Swamp is that whole area.
That's why I was thinking of that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's supposed to be the Native Americans cursed the land there because of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all that weird stuff that's there, though. But I mean,
the thing that's crazy about that area is, you know, the whole Bridgewater Triangle area, mm-hmm. right there, the Hockomock Swamp and all that. And the Conjuring House is in that area too, just like on the other side of the Hockomock Swamp.
Yeah.
That's you know, weird to me.
Yeah.
The one of the most infamous hauntings mm-hmm. in America happened right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's like many people that don't know that name, the Conjuring House.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have answers, but I kind of have answers, but kind of don't at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the, you know, to bring it back to Tennessee and, you know, with the whole Elkmont thing, I mean, that place goes way far back also. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of history. So I don't know if you heard me talking about this, but apparently we went up there and it was called, they had a sign up that said Butterfly. What was it called? Butterfly Town or something like that. And we're like, what is this? So apparently before it was Elkmont, it was called like Butterfly Town or something. And a lot of lumberjacks and stuff worked in that area. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And I can't remember. There's like, I don't want to misquote, but I want to say a lot of them like died of like sicknesses and stuff in that area. And that may have something to do with why Elkmont is so just weird, you know?
And it's funny you say that because I was going to mention this too. You know, they say the areas, you know, where you take things away from the land, you know, logging, mining.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you've heard where it's where you dig into the earth and you're taking things out of the earth and whatever's there is you're making it mad.
Mm-hmm.
So. Or I've also heard where people, you know, there's mining and you dig into the earth and then it's kind of like unleashing whatever's in there too. I've heard that also.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much folklore and stuff in the Smoky Mountains. But there is, what was it? I'm trying to think. There was like something to the effect of, you know, something asleep under the hills or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it gets released like when you dig, or maybe I'm thinking, this is funny. It's not, but I was just, because I'm a nerd, I just started thinking, or maybe I'm thinking of Lord of the Rings, you know,
they
dug too deep. They got too greedy, you know?
No, I've literally,
the Balrog.
Yes. No, I've heard that. Like I haven't seen that movie, but I've heard people reference that and say that as to why, you know, mining and stuff, digging into the earth. I mean, I don't know. It's just the more and more you get into this stuff, the more and more questions you have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the more answers you get, the more questions you have, and the stranger it gets.
Yeah. So, I mean, yesterday, when we were driving, you know, we're driving down the road right next to the river and we hit this one spot and I'm like, oh, it started to feel creepy here. And I said, I almost don't want to say this because I don't know if it's in my head or not, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I already know it's kind of weird here. But it's also like you feel it too. So mm-hmm. you can't really deny that. And here's another thing too, which is kind of wild. We went on this trail. It's like called the Copper Mine Trail or something. So there's another thing. It's this old copper mine and they're taking things out of the earth. And
there's a lot of stuff to do with copper also. Copper.
Oh, really?
It's kind of a conductive metal Like a lot of people swear that, you know, if they wear copper bracelets or whatever, it amplifies or it like helps balance their bodies, you know, the electricity in their body or whatever. Yeah. So,
yeah, I know about the bracelets and stuff, mm-hmm. but I didn't like, is there ties to paranormal stuff with copper?
I don't know. Possibly. I'm just putting two and two together. I mean, obviously it does something.
Well,
I mean,
they make dowsing rods out of copper.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, we found I think there was like one hole that was in the side of the hill, I think, that they did dig out of, because you can see it looks like they did take stuff out of it. But there was another spot that's supposed to be on the trail even bigger, but we could not find it. I mean, and we were so tired by the time we were done, because we did like 5 miles and it was like up these rocky hills, and then it flattened out because we got on top of the mountain and then it would kind of went back down, and then we had to turn around and do it all over again, because it was too, like, it was a little over 2 miles in and 2 miles out, plus all of our screw. It took us like 3 hours to do, because we were just screwing around so much. We were like, oh, look at this and look at that. You know, there's waterfalls throughout the whole thing. And I mean, so what my point was before I got sidetracked was, is we were walking through this one section. It was right when the mountain flattened out. And I start walking slower because I notice that I'm not hearing anything in the woods anymore. Mm. And my sister turns around and she says, what, are you getting tired? I said, no. And she's like, well, what's wrong with you? And I said, There's no noises in the woods anymore. And I'm like, I don't hear anything besides the wind. And she's like, no, you hear it. And she starts like joking around, making bird noises. I'm laughing because, you know, we both know that once if it goes dead silent in the woods, you're supposed to get the heck out of there.
No, oh, yeah, definitely.
And it was just this one little pocket that we walked. It was so weird because it was just this one pocket we walked through where it was dead silent and all you could hear was the wind. And as you know, as soon as we walked out of whatever it was, you would just hear the birds starting to chirp again. And it was like normal again.
Yeah.
It was so strange. And then we kept hiking for a while, and then we turned around and we went back. And we got down the mountain at some point, and I said to her, I said, she's like, we didn't hit that pocket again. I said, yeah. I said, you know, I don't remember even going through that on our way back, which is so weird because, I mean, it could have just been because I was tired. You know, I don't know that it was paranormal, but I don't even remember going through that area mm-hmm. on the way back. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I don't either. She's like, but I don't know, because we saw these two people hiking and this girl had a big fluffy cat in her backpack. So we stopped to say hi to them. And I was so excited to see a cat hiking. And she's like, maybe it was when we saw the cat. And I said, oh yeah, maybe, I don't know. But it was just, I don't know. It was a little weird. But
that's weird. That's very weird. So another thing about the woods that I experience, I guess it was about a year ago. It was actually Phil and I when we were recording, but we were at an area in the Smokies, and I've never experienced this before. Maybe it's a phenomenon that's natural. I don't know, but I had never experienced it. But the forest was really quiet, like mm-hmm. you were talking about. It was like 2 a.m. We're the only ones up there. Yeah. And our voices were echoing.
Right.
Like we were in a cave. And it was so bizarre. And there's nothing there except trees. I mean, there's no like ledges or gorges or, I mean, anything like a rock wall. There's nothing there like that. It was just so bizarre.
And so did that just happen out of nowhere? Like you were up in that area for a while and then all of a sudden?
No, it was like when we got there.
Okay, when you got there.
Yeah, we were walking towards the cabin and then I was like, do you hear that echo? So it was really weird.
Yeah, I remember you. I feel like I've heard you say that, like, because I think you told Aaron and I that maybe, and then I think you and Phil talking about it. That's, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I mean, there may be a natural explanation. I don't know. Right. It's very weird when, you know, it literally sounded like I was in a cave.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
It almost makes me like, I don't know. Like there's some other kind of like dimension there or something that you can't see, and like your voice is like bouncing off of something. That's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have no explanation.
Yeah. I don't know. It's.
But we saw two coyotes though after that.
Yeah. Maybe they were some kind of shape shifting something or other.
Maybe.
I don't know.
The good old skinwalkers.
I know. Hanging out. That's what I was thinking of, but I was like, I shouldn't say skinwalker, but.
Which, I mean, you know, that is a Cherokee land.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's skinwalkers in Cherokee lore. I mean, I'm sure are some.
Yeah.
Something, some form of something. I know there's a lot of lore about the Cherokee little people.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. I love that. That's one of the things that. It's just awesome to me to think about. It was, you know, like small humanoids living in the forest. You know, I think it goes back to my childhood because there was this cartoon called The Littles, and there's these little people that lived in like the walls of the house.
Oh my God.
There was also a movie and a book, Indian in the Cupboard. It's kind of the
yes,
same thing.
Yes, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah. So there's a lot of like folklore about, you know, small people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there is a lot, which yeah. is, I don't know. That's a whole other weird thing in itself.
It's the fae folk, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, that's just, gosh, that is a subject that I would really like to dive deep into or find someone that knows a lot about the fae lore to talk about.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be neat? Gosh, it's got to do it quickly. I feel like because, you know, if you want somebody that's like an elder or like a, you know, somebody yeah. that actually, yeah, I feel like a lot of those people are gone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's still some around mm-hmm. because, you know, especially in like Native American culture, like,
yeah.
So I'm descended from, the Cherokee, like my fourth great grandmother was Cherokee. So, but you know, there's always like the storyteller of the tribe that, you know, these stories get passed down to.
Yeah. I really like that they do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I wish that we did stuff like that, but mm-hmm. we don't.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, to some extent, I think they're, I mean, yeah, I guess we really don't. I mean, we have stories like our grandparents will tell us and, you know, mm-hmm. but you don't like really write them down, you know, and then they yeah. get kind of lost and, you know, change mm-hmm. over time because, you know, you kind of interpret it your way of what yeah. you remember them
oh,
telling
exactly.
you. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I had, I just found out, I think it was like a year ago, my dad was looking at his phone and there was something about a powwow book that popped up, and not powwow in the Native American sense, but in Pennsylvania Dutch. Mm. And that's a, I want to do an episode on this. And that is a form of folk healing, and it's mixed with Christianity, and it's, you know, the Pennsylvania Germans that did it. And there's really not anybody around that really does that anymore. And my dad's like, what do you know about powwowing? And I said, well, I know about it. And he's like, you know, he's like, your great great grandfather was a powwower. And I'm like, what? Mm. And I'm like, I just was instantly wishing that just even my grandparents were still around, or, you know, somebody was still around that I could have talked to about it. Or heck, I mean, even like if you could like time travel back in the day and go talk, you know, talk to them about it, I think that would be the coolest thing ever. Yeah. It's, I mean, I actually just I bought a book on it the other day. I was in Kutztown, and that's kind of like the heart of Pennsylvania Dutch culture. I mean, you could ask Tony because I think he went to college there because there's a big college there. And he used to live close to that area. And yeah, it's really neat. It's actually, I mean, it's like has to do with like hexing and stuff. And like, it's kind of like spells, but not, and it's not really witchcraft because it is mixed with Christianity, but it's kind of like being like a granny witch, I guess, from like mm-hmm. Appalachia almost.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that like people take and then mix with Christianity, like the was Santeria.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like voodoo and Catholicism.
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, it's just, I mean, there's a lot of like interesting stuff that goes on. Is that your dog? I heard him.
Yeah. Yeah. I meant to say she's been snoring pretty loudly the last couple of minutes. So I'm sorry.
I didn't hear it at all. Yeah.
Well, if that comes through on the recording, it's not like a ghostly growling or anything like that. She just woke up and shook her head. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What is that growling? You should have just went with it. There's a ghost growling.
Yeah.
Totally not a dog snoring. But gosh, it was awesome to catch up with you and talk about this, all the weird stuff and all the strange stuff, because I love it so much. I love all the stories. So guys, I just want to give an invitation right now. If you have a story to tell, if you want to just talk about things, hit me up on afkdiscussions@gmail.com. Laura, can you tell everybody where to find your stuff?
Yeah, so I'm mostly on Instagram as of now. My Instagram handle is midnight_in_the_mountains. And my gosh, my dog is making so much noise.
Guys, you need to check out her photography on there because it is awesome.
Well, seriously. Thanks.
I know you just use your iPhone, you say, but yeah. It is really, really good.
I appreciate that so much because I want that it to look good and I take, you know, a few seconds to sit down and pause and take a photo, but I don't do a whole lot other than that. But I have so much stuff in my phone that I need to make posts and reels on. And I just don't do it. I need to, but.
Didn't we do an episode on Pinhurst?
We did. Yeah.
I would like to revisit that because you had some really cool photography from there.
Yeah. You know, gosh, you should really try to come up here at some point and do Pinhurst. And we also, I booked Mid Orange Correctional Facility for my friends and I in September. And I'm really looking forward to going back into there because I was actually just talking about this to some of my friends the other day. Mid Orange is really like a time capsule. You walk in and there's still papers from when it was a school. There's like the janitorial's office with like keys to everything hanging on the, in a closet. And there's phones and books and like everything. But if you go to Pinhurst, they really did a good job cleaning it up and making it much cleaner. But yeah, it's cleaner and you can kind of kneel on the ground and it's not so bad. But I feel like it's missing.
Yeah, it kind of loses its like atmosphere of how it was. Yeah. So where can they find your podcast?
I am on pretty much any podcatcher. There's Spotify, Apple, ones that you've never heard of. Because I know when I uploaded it, you can check all these off. So I said, okay, I'll just check them all off and let them go to wherever. So yeah, pretty much on any podcatcher you could probably want to use.
That's awesome. And guys, I just want to say thanks for listening to the show because, we're trying to get back into it. This is a whole, pretty much a brand new podcast. If you have listened to it in the past, thanks for following us over here. But, we're AFK Discussions and you can follow us wherever you do social media. And also check out fattack.com. If you see my hat, fattack.
Yeah, so, I did see that. I like it. It looks like, is that like ice cream or a donut?
It's like a donut. Yeah. So yeah, check out fattack.com. They make tactical gear for big guys and also small guys. They don't discriminate. But yeah, so they anywhere from small to fix. They have body armor. They have holsters. They have t-shirts. They have cool t-shirts. I'm showing it. Like, I'm not doing video, but I was showing my shirt.
You're so used to being on YouTube, to be fair. So
yeah, I know. But guys, thanks a lot for checking us out. And hopefully we'll see you next time. Like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, all that stuff. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.